Two business weeks, to be exact. 10 days total. That was my vacation package. My first ever. Many, many moons ago. I was 23 years old, and I felt lucky and unlucky. I'd be making $32,000 a year with decent benefits. Lucky. But that vacation package, that was totally unlucky in my book. I naively didn't know that it was normal. I'd never talked to the adults about their work lives, not in detail anyway. No conversations about the hours, the overtime, the workaholic nature of it all. Finding out like that felt scandalous. And sitting with that HR director while he used words like accrue and phrases like, they should be taken non-succinctly, it made me feel like this. And in those 30 seconds, while staring at my new employee paperwork, I had one of the biggest epiphanies I'd had in my young years. I realized the droopy eyes and bored yawns of adults are most likely caused by a life grind. Adults are stuck in a draining routine, a repetitive, dull, possibly unnecessary pattern. They have no time for new experiences because their work life won't allow it. No room to rest, no space to hit the reset button. They are trapped. But I refused to be. I knew I had options because of something that had happened to me on a couch 6 months earlier. So let's go back to that moment, shall we? This song was in the top 100 on the charts. It was the year 2000, and on the Travel Channel, countdown shows were all the rage. I was on my couch at 2 a.m. on a Tuesday during my final semester of my undergrad, and I was smoking something spicy and super busy getting sucked into a picturesque vortex called Bali, Indonesia. The good-looking host on the Travel Countdown chose Bali as her number one destination in the world to live like a queen for $20 a day. Big pimpin' faux show. Massages, bungalows, sailboats, 5-course meals, and balmy jungle hikes. $20 a day. I had to go. Plus, on that kind of money, I could afford to live there for a bit. So I planned on it. And now let's fast forward 6 months later to my new employee paperwork. Pen hovering above the dotted line. I signed. It might not be what you'd expect, but I did it because I had a plan. I worked hard for that company for exactly 1 year. Saving my money and learning about big business, and then I quit. I boarded a plane headed not for Bali, but for Melbourne, Australia instead. I'd conducted some research and found a work visa. So I applied for that permit, I got it, and then I went overseas for a year to live. I dove straight into my travel dreams, but so many people don't. Many would have signed that employment contract and just called it a day. No time or money for overseas travel. They think that if it's ever going to happen, it will take place way down the line, like in retirement age. And that's only if it happens. But they don't know their options. And why is this? Why do so many Americans blindly get on the hedonic treadmill and never get off? Even if their dreams reside elsewhere. Even when their imaginations take them to beaches and forests buried deep inside exotic destinations. Like, let's take Angie. She turns 40 this year. She's been at the same job for 15 years, and it's a good one. But during most of those 15 years, she's wanted out. She never knew her options when she was young, and now she sits at the same desk and daydreams of not sitting there. The Amazon, the pyramids, the Great Barrier Reef, anything but those cubicle walls. But kids and mortgages and a million other things make it harder for her to go now. And to pour Tasman Sea salt water in her wound, her new coworker is a 24-year-old guy who does know his options. He's currently spanning the globe in 17 days. I just saw a pic of him in Budapest smirking and shrugging his shoulders in front of an opulent bathhouse. He's not rich, he's not poor. He holds an average job for now, but he's not scared of leaving it in order to live his travel dreams while it's prime time. Angie uses the word envious to describe how she feels about him, but then she reconsiders.
And I don't think it's envious in regard to, it was actually, I admire him for doing all those things that he wants to do. I wish I had realized, and maybe it was just, I don't know if it was the way I was raised, small town, whatever, but just not knowing that there were options. Mm-hmm. I was just of the mindset of like, I want to do better, so what does that mean? I go to college and I get a job that, you know.
And yeah, I do know. When you fully commit yourself to a culture that puts premiums on possessions, prestige, and power, it's easy to forget the other things you wanted out of life. This is Lauren. She's young, 26 years old, master's degree, unmarried, and fresh out of the adult life gates. She wants to travel the Mediterranean countries before she bites the dust. And she knows this is possibly the best time for her to do it, and yet she doesn't.
There's always an excuse to not go. There's 1 million excuses. You know, I have a project coming, I don't have enough money, what if this happens, what if that happens, and I'm speaking from personal experience.
She says that long-term travel is scary for numerous reasons that you might guess, but one that you might not. She describes travel as a disruption to life. She says that leaving a job might hinder life progress, as in buying a house, advancing within a respectable company, and affording nice things progress. But then in the next breath, she says this.
I think seeing the way people think that aren't like you is important and beneficial. And just realizing that there are different ways of living and working and different systems that we don't even think about that can help your creativity whenever you come back to the place where you worked.
And then Lauren goes on to get even more paradoxical. She says that extended time away from your comfort zone is actually critical to success. Prolonged time off is the it that she's referring to in this next bit. And oh, Megan is her best friend. You'll hear Megan's name here in a minute. But here's Lauren talking about time off.
I definitely think that not only is that an option, I think it's a necessity. I don't think you can be as productive as, to quote Megan, your best self without allowing that space, that rest.
Okay, so Lauren has an awesome career. She's mega talented and loves what she does. She continues to grow, improving her position in life through business focus. So I guess you could say she's achieving life progress. But I wanted to know, does this progress stop the glaring fantasy of gallivanting through the Mediterranean countries?
I mean, it comes and goes in phases where I just get really tired of the everyday. Like if there's nothing exciting happening at work, or if I'm just over my friends and they're boring me, then I'm like, I just want to go to a beach and lay around for like a week and relax and see new people. But I would say that happens maybe probably once a month where there's like a, well, oh my gosh, that's often. Where there's like 2 weeks, so okay, half of my life. Where I'm like, screw this, I just want to be at a beach, and it's always a beach.
And so then this is interesting because it goes back to, I feel like you don't think a year's saving is worth the month.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you spend half of your life daydreaming about it.
I know. It doesn't make sense. It really doesn't.
See that? See how she had her own epiphany right there and it's recorded? Ouchie. She's doing something with her life that doesn't make sense and she realizes it. She knows this is the best time for her to embrace her travel dreams, but she doesn't. She tells me about the things she's saving for and they're all possessions. Some are smart, some not. And when I ask her to rank possessions against experiences, she says experiences win hands down. She spent enough money on a marble top coffee table to get her around the Mediterranean for a month, and now it has water stains on it, and it is just a regular table. But one time she did travel to Panama, and that trip...
I really wanted to go on a Panama trip when I was younger, and I did, and it was awesome.
Was it worth it?
Oh, yeah, it was absolutely worth it.
Does the Panama trip memory have stains on it?
No. Well, no. Maybe. Define memory stains.
That Panama trip compared to marble top table?
Oh, the Panama trip wins. Like, that will be with me forever. When I die, I will remember the Panama trip. When I die, if I'm thinking about that marble table, then...
Kill me again.
Yeah, seriously. I've taken a wrong turn somewhere.
So yeah, Lauren seems to be hyper confused and like she's not paying close enough attention to what really matters to her, to her options, some might say. But she's young. She has lots of life ahead of her, right? Hopefully. But for those who can remember being like Lauren, being young, beginning a salary job for the first time and thinking there's plenty of time for everything, including world travel dreams, well, remember my friend Angie?
Because this is something I've kind of been replaying lately. It's just been kind of a something I've been resonating on in regard to, like, realization of dreams. Mm-hmm. You know, and as kids, we have these grandiose ideas, and there's nothing that in our brain that tells us we can't do it. And then at some point, somebody or something says, you can't do that, or that's not feasible or realistic. Mm-hmm. And then at some point, something, for some reason, we decide to believe it. And then we kind of, as we get older, you start to, like, bring everything down to a much smaller scale because it's safe, or you're not going to be disappointed, or you know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean, Angie, and I'm sure you know what she means, too, if you're over 30. Dreams die before we do. But I'm here to tell you they don't have to. You can travel the world without being rich or threatening your future success in the United States. So ask, learn, go overseas, live and work. All you have to do is read and find out how, because there are millions of other people already doing it. And you can join them while your life is ripe. Consider your options.